The drive continues with Need to Know Basis on TSN 1200.
Welcome back to The Drive. Hour number three, Lever Sage, AJ Jakubek, and Matt Conesvita. Here's what you need to know. You need to know that the champion of junior hockey will be crowned tonight on TSN 1 and 3. The TSN app and TSN Direct. It will be the St. John Sea Dogs and the Hamilton Bulldogs to meet in the Memorial Cup final. And I don't know, if you're not a fan of St. John, you're pulling for Hamilton. They've done it the right way. And hopefully, I'm a proponent of somebody doing it the right way, regardless of what team that is. Hamilton has that opportunity tonight.
I wouldn't suggest, by the way, I know you're still doing Need to Know. I wouldn't suggest
I love chats during Need to Know.
Done it the wrong way. But.
Well, they lost in the first round.
Yeah, well, and that happens.
Yep, I know.
Doesn't mean they've done it the wrong way. It's just the format stinks.
Yes, I would think, right? Though, I would think of Hamilton as a true Memorial Cup champion.
Yeah, it'll have an odor on it.
Where I might not feel the exact same way about St. John.
And when Ottawa did it, they were the first team in the history of this format in 1999 that hadn't reached the league final and won the Memorial Cup. But now we've seen... This would be the third team in less than a decade. And we saw a Windsor team do it after losing in the first round. And then you say St. John, you see Shawinigan. It's becoming a bit of a trend. And I think part of the reason it's becoming a bit of a trend is because you've got teams that are just wearing the absolute living crap out of each other, because it's hard, whether it's NHL or junior hockey, to win 16 freaking games in the playoffs. And three teams have done it, and one team didn't, and that one team is sitting back at home, rested. They brought in a new coach, guy who's won championships, right, and Gardner McDougall at UNB, and he's not even left UNB. He's just taken on this job. All right,
hey, you want a job?
On the job for 6 weeks.
Get your team ready.
Like, it's starting 1999. It was like a one-off. It felt like it. And now it's starting like to feel like a trend, and I feel like it's got a bit of an odor on it, and it has devalued the Memorial Cup, in my opinion. And it's a sport. I love junior hockey. It's been my bread and butter for so much of my career, but like I haven't been as invested as I have been in the past. And part of the reason is because I feel just a little bit uneasy of the format too many times in recent years.
And I don't cheer for teams from the Hammer very often.
Yeah.
AJ?
You got Jorian Donovan playing there too.
Exactly.
Cheers to the Donovan family. Hopefully they get to see Jorian win a Memorial Cup tonight.
Speaking of junior hockey, Tim Hortons the latest to suspend their support for the World Juniors. And another blow for Hockey Canada. Canadian Tire tell us Tim Hortons just amongst those sponsors that have suspended their support until Hockey Canada gets their act together. The Sergio Romo signing official for the Toronto Blue Jays. And they play the Boston Red Sox again tonight. We'll get to that a little bit more in a minute. But how about this? Justin Verlander and the Houston Astros beat the Mets 2-0 this afternoon. Why is that important? Well, Houston Astros are a good team. I'm sure you've watched your shrunk strike zone with Jose Altuve.
I have not had a chance to see it yet.
Yeah, it's because it doesn't exist. But Justin Verlander has now won game number 236 in his career, and he ties Whitey Ford for 63rd all-time, and he leads in active wins for major league pitchers.
Very cool. Got to see him in his prime. Tigers, Yankees, first round of the playoffs at Comerica Park with the one and only Tiger fan, the voice Dave Schreiber, and Verlander on the mound. That was a pretty cool moment.
When you tie Whitey Ford,
yeah,
doing something
right. Oh, he's had a hell of a career.
And I know baseball has changed so dramatically, but it's still a game about the numbers. When you look at some of the numbers of the top guys, like, did Cy Young ever come out of a game? He won 511 times. Justin Verlander's 236 is like, oh, my God, wow.
Back in those days, relievers? What is a reliever?
Yeah. But Greg Maddux won 355 games in his career. Anyway, he leads the active major league pitchers. Do you know who's second on the list? It actually surprised me. I had to go down and look. And just to give you an indication, Max Scherzer was the guy who came to my mind. And he is number three at 195 wins.
Clayton Kershaw?
No. This guy's been a really good pitcher, but I wouldn't ever call him like a... I mean, he got massive contract at one point, but Zach Greinke has 220 wins.
Yeah.
Over the course of his career. Clayton Kershaw, fourth. He's got 190. So, interesting tonight, or this afternoon, that he gets win 236. The Astros are a good team. I mentioned the Red Sox. I want to talk about the Nick Paul stuff, AJ, but I do want to, let's talk about this quickly. Dan Shaughnessy's never been one to hide his opinions in the Boston media. After the loss last night for the Red Sox to the Toronto Blue Jays, where Tanner Houck was not available because he's unvaccinated, so he couldn't get into the country. And for the Boston Red Sox, they took a 5-4 lead into the ninth inning. Their relievers could not get an out, and Toronto wins 6-5. Dan Shaughnessy tweeted this: most richly deserved loss ever. Anti-vax Sox closer is back in Boston enjoying personal freedom while Sox pen blows 5-4 lead in the ninth. Penn never got an out. Sox are 2-7 against the Jays, 7-16 against the AL East. But everybody evidently okay with Tanner Houck quitting on his team. That's a pretty harsh tweet. Losing a regular season game in June.
I'm so sick of the COVID stuff. Like, we've been down this road. We talked about this for 2 years. We talked about, you know, the athletes' decisions to get vaccinated, not get vaccinated, how it affects things. Like, my take is, do what you want to do as a human being, but, you know, you get paid to be available, right? And he's unavailable. So...
yeah,
harsh criticism for sure, but you're paid to be available. You are. So you can have your beliefs. That's fine. But you're paid to be available. And you can dislike what's going on, right? Like, I'll be honest. I moved on in August, okay? So I see people still, like, we're talking almost a full year later. I see people that are just losing their minds about certain things COVID related. And I'm like, I don't want to hear about it. Okay. I got my three shots. If I need a fourth, I'll get a fourth. If I need a fifth, I'll get a fifth. I got COVID. I don't care. I just don't care. So you know what? I'm not saying I feel good, bad. I'm just so indifferent to Tanner Houck. Couldn't care less. He's not available. That's his problem. Whatever. Don't care. That's just my opinion. Some people want, like, I feel like some people think that this is a two-sided issue. It is not a two-sided issue because some people are still mad at the world and they're going to come and protest this weekend and that's their right. And all right, fine. Don't care.
Okay,
and then there's some people that are losing their mind that we should be going back to Maskville and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? Don't care. Moved on with my life in August. If I need another shot, I'll get one. Beyond that, don't care. There's my opinion.
Okay, I only brought it up, AJ, from the sports perspective of what a locker room would go through.
It affects the Boston Red Sox.
What a locker room would go through sitting around last night wondering, what if we had that guy? And how much respect do you give other people for their own decision-making? But just within the sports locker room, you would think it would be in some players' minds after last night.
Well, he wasn't available, right?
All right.
And that's his choice. That's fine.
So we got
wasn't available.
Got a little breaking news, so we'll change topics here. Michael Russo. According to sources, the Minnesota Wild have traded the rights to pending restricted free agent Kevin Fiala to the LA Kings for their 2022 first-round pick and University of Minnesota captain Brock Faber.
I just smiled. This leads into my Nick Paul thing. And I don't know if it's a pipe dream or not, right? We just heard from someone that he talks to on a regular basis that doesn't think it's a pipe dream. And when it comes to Kevin Fiala and Alex DeBrincat and Philip Forsberg, if the salary cap was not a thing, if budgets weren't a thing, right? We don't even know what the budget's going to be, but if the salary cap was not a thing going forward, then I'd say yes. Bring in all the best players you could possibly bring in. But it is a thing. And so I believe this organization can definitely use another top six forward, but I don't think you want to have someone here coming in unless look, I mean, I'm not saying if Connor McDavid was available and wanted to come here, there are certainly exceptions. But for the most part, I don't really see an $8 million player, and I think he's going to be in that range, as a fit here. Because, number one, I think you have four legitimate PP1 forwards here. So do you want to bring in a fifth at $8 million a year? You've got Batherson, you've got Norris, you've got Tkachuk, you've got Stützle. Do you want to kick one of those guys off PP1? Do you want to have somebody on PP2 making $8 million a year? I don't. So that's why I smiled, because you know what this team needs? They need more Nick Pauls at $3 or $4 million a year. Good players that can support your top players, right? Just like the Colorado Avalanche. The guys that they drafted are their key guys. Nick Newhook's still young, but I think he's going to get better and probably eventually move into their core. But Rantanen, Landeskog, MacKinnon, McCarr, Byram, all drafted. Everyone else other than Newhook acquired via trade or free agency. Not saying it's going to work the same here. You've already got some good complementary players here. But you need the right complementary players to support your top guys. And that means I would rather have a guy at $4 million and a guy at $6 million than a guy who's going to come in at $8 plus potentially in Fiala or Forsberg, or DeBrincat, and now, okay, who's the next guy you're bringing in? Oh, he's going to be a $2 million player because we don't have the room. And that takes away a Nick Paul.
But this is also about...
And I'm not saying it's Nick Paul specifically that's going to come here, but that's the type of player. Like, I look at multiple spots.
Isn't it about the quality of player, though? Like, you have to be willing to bend in certain circumstances depending on what the fit is and the quality of player you're getting back. I agree that I'm actually glad that this happened from a sense perspective, because I don't think Kevin Fiala was the right fit. But I disagree with you a little bit on if there is a right fit on a player that you might bring in that you think you can keep long-term and you think can really add to the group. I'd be willing to listen to some of those discussions for sure.
You can only have so many guys making big-time dough. Period. And two of those guys, you're very lucky you've got a team-friendly looking deal on Drake Batherson. Very, and not lucky. I mean, they knew what they had, right? They went out and signed him. They bet on him. And boy, I mean, that deal looks really, really good right now. But don't think you're going to get anywhere near the same when it comes to Josh Norris or Tim Stützle. Like, you're going to have to pay those guys.
Right.
But and you're going to have to pay those guys quite a bit of money.
I think they've planned on that, though.
which means if you planned on that, I don't think an $8 million forward is the answer. My opinion.
Okay, and where I would disagree with you is I don't think you can blanket that statement with every forward that's out there. If they make that much money, they're out. Like, I think you do have to look at it a little bit more specifically on the player and what they would bring and how long you would have them.
Okay, if you're getting one of the best forwards in the league, yes. But if you're talking about the names that we've been hearing, Fiala, Forsberg, DeBrincat.
Pasternak.
Pasternak, yes. That is one name that moves the needle for me. I'm not saying those other three. Look, salary's not an issue. Salary cap's not an issue. Then, yes, give me DeBrincat. Give me Forsberg.
I understand.
Give me Fiala. David Pasternak's a name that absolutely moves the needle for me on that. That feels like a pipe dream. I'm not saying you don't kick tires on it. That one feels like a pipe dream.
All I'm saying is, for me, I'm not going to blanket every forward in the group if they make a certain amount of money and say no. I have to look at it more specifically. Kevin Fiala, I don't think was the right fit for Ottawa, and he's now, at least for the next week or 2 weeks, a member of the LA Kings.
I just think when you look at how teams have been built, I think you have your high-priced forwards. I think you need those middle guys, and one middle guy wants to leave, potentially. I mean, I shouldn't say he wants to leave. Doesn't want to even consider signing an extension from the reports in Connor Brown, right? So that's another guy that needs to be replaced.
So according to Michael Russo, the Minnesota Wild and the LA Kings getting together.
That's, man, draft must be coming quick, eh?
It's next week, AJ.
I am aware. I said that for a reason.
8 days away.
Yeah. No, you get, it's going to be an interesting offseason, and especially here, right? So.
And Michael Russo has said also that they will sign Fiala to a long-term extension. Yeah. Some of the other reporters have said that the Kings will sign Fiala, is a done deal.
And look, if you get the right fit, the cost in terms of assets gave up a pretty good prospect and a first-round pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not as good a first-round pick as the Ottawa Senators have, but I think that is something that a lot of Ottawa Senator fans would be okay with, right, in terms of the assets. But again, it's not just about the assets. It's about what is coming back salary-wise and what that does not only now, but in the future, in terms of trying to build a team that's going to win a Stanley Cup.
All right, if you want to weigh in, your thoughts at 12-1200. Kevin Fiala, now a member of the LA Kings. Leaver Sage, AJ Jack, you back. Matt Conisvita on The Drive on TSN 1200.
The Drive continues on TSN 1200.
Welcome back to The Drive, Leaver Sage, AJ Jackie back, and Matt Conisvita. Hope you're having a good Wednesday afternoon. Kevin Fiala, traded by the Minnesota Wild to the LA Kings, and in return, the 19th overall draft pick and University of Minnesota captain Brock Faber go back to the Wild, and AJ, we've learned over the break that the deal for Fiala signing in Los Angeles, 7 years at $7.9 million.
Exactly where I thought he'd be. Right around $8 million.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I'm talking about Forsberg, I'm talking about DeBrincat, when I'm talking about Kevin Fiala, like those are players in the $8 million range. And again, I just don't feel, unless it's a Pasternak, right? If you want to find me another guy in the $8 million range that you think is worth getting, that's the only name that would make sense. Anyone else, to me, for a variety of reasons. Again, first, talk to NHL players. They know the dynamics, especially when you're talking about the top guys of the power play. The top guys want to be on PP1. You have four forwards here that have been on PP1. They look good on PP1. If you bring in another guy, someone's coming off PP1. So
okay, but
so hold it. That's the first dynamic that you have to deal with, and that's not something that I would think about regularly. But when you talk to players in the National Hockey League, past or present, they know how big a deal that is. It's not just as simple, oh, okay, you come and play in the PP1, I'll just play PP2. No, that's costing them money. That's costing them money in terms of their career. And people want to win, but people also want to look after number one in the end. And so when you bring in somebody in that range, you know that you're potentially booting somebody out.
Okay,
and I don't think too many people are coming here at $8 million plus to say, I'm going to be the best player on PP2 here.
I don't disagree with you that everyone wants to play in the power play, but to say that it will cost everybody money, that's not true. It won't cost Brady Tkachuk a dime to not be on power play number one.
You tell Brady Tkachuk he's on PP2.
And maybe he would be if they brought in somebody that could help him. Maybe he would be. When Josh Norris signs his contract.
I think you're speaking in fantasy land right now. He's the captain of the team. He wants to be on PP1.
Okay.
He wants his team to win.
Yeah.
These guys want, like, you see how good those four guys work together.
Mm-hmm. What about Thomas Chabot? I've said this before. What if you put a forward?
Easier said than done putting out five forwards on the power play.
Okay, I get it.
Easier said than done.
Listen, I get what you're saying, but you also have to get better.
Easier to say that as a fan or a media member than as a head coach whose job's on the line, right? I think it's fair to say his job's on the line. He needs to win this year. I'm not saying he needs to make the playoffs even, but he needs to win this year. He needs this team to take a huge step. Like, none of this 77 points this year. Oh, we're a little bit. No, like 85 minimum.
Agreed.
85 minimum. So he needs to win.
What's he going
to
do?
And so if all of a sudden he's got five forwards on the power play,
yeah,
and you've got a couple of shorthanded goals that might be costing him games, he might be a little more reticent to go in that direction.
Maybe, but what happens if he puts five forwards on the ice and it works? Thomas Chabot's got three power play goals in his career. Three.
I am aware that's the area if I'm upgrading one spot on the Ottawa Senators, and maybe it's going to be done internally with, you know, we don't know how good Jake Sanderson's going to be for the Ottawa Senators, especially when it comes to his offensive game, which really came around. But that's a lot to ask, and especially in year one, you're not saying, okay, Jake, hey, there you go. You're running PP1. That's a lot to ask, right? We don't know if he's going to be that guy.
Right, and I also don't know that Tim Stützle, as a guy that is a very young player, does he deserve to be on PP1 every single time?
Yeah, he does.
If you're...
Yeah, he does. And you know what happens when you start talking like this and you start moving star players out of that role? They get disgruntled. So it's a different psychology dealing with the very best of the very best. That's what we're talking about here.
But the group wants to win. And if they don't add somebody, because you know that those core players, they've all gone to the management and said, we need other players to take the next step. So if they're not willing to sacrifice anything, and I actually don't disagree with your premise here about coming off the power play, but if they're not willing to sacrifice something, it's really great to say, you know what? We need this player. We need this player. We can't take a step until you go out and provide us the support, but I'm not coming off the power play and I'm not doing this. You can't have it both ways. Do you want to go out and get a couple of players to take the next step with this organization or not?
I'm just saying you just don't pick the best player and say, that's the best, most talented player. Pick him in. You've got to pick the best players that are going to be the best fit.
Right.
And I believe the Burakovskis of the world, right? Like a Nick Paul on the third line and a I'm just saying, if I could bring in Burakovsky on my second line and Nick Paul onto my third line, since Dave Smart doesn't think it's a pipe dream, I'm doing that rather than bringing in Philip Forsberg, which might be square peg, round hole.
I think you have to look at every case individually. I was not a big Kevin Fiala guy, so He goes to the LA Kings. I hope he does well. I don't think he was a great fit here in Ottawa personally. But that doesn't mean other guys won't be good fits here. So,
yeah, potentially. But just remember, every action's got an equal and opposite reaction, and sometimes there's unintended consequences. And that's why I, like, personally will be looking at kind of that second tier of forwards, which I don't think is really all that much worse than the first tier of forwards, unless you're talking about a Pastrnak. But when you're talking about DeBrincat, when you're talking about Fiala, when you're talking about Forsberg, those are all very good players. So is Burakovsky. So is Nick Paul. So, like, some of the other players in that kind of mid-tier, I'd rather have more of those guys than one guy that's being brought in at probably too much money. Because if you're outbidding, let's be honest, if you're outbidding teams to get Philip Forsberg, you're probably overpaying. Simple as that. In terms of the tax situation and everything like that. So if you're doing that, you're probably overpaying, and you might benefit now, but you're going to pay for it later, because Stützle and Sanderson and, I mean, Zub needs a contract and Norris needs a contract, and eventually all these guys that are core players are going to need contracts, and you have to make sure you look after the core. What Colorado has done is they have looked after their core players, Landeskog, Rantanen, got lucky on McKinnon. That's going to have to be dealt with. Makar, you know, eventually they're going to have to pay a guy like Bowen Byram. Eventually they're going to have to pay a guy like Taves, right? And they're not even going to be able to keep those guys. But they did keep that core of players. That's going to be the key. And they surrounded them with really good secondary players on good value deals. That's where Joe Sakic, you know, give him a lot of credit, whether it was Taves, whether it was Kadri, Burakovsky, Nichushkin. They've done really well. And again, those aren't $8 million players. They didn't bring in any $8 million players. The Ottawa Senators, in my opinion, don't need to bring in $8 million players. They need to bring in good hockey players that are going to support this group, but in a much better support role. When I say support, I'm not talking about Derek Stepan. I'm not talking about Josh Brown and some of the other guys that they brought in that weren't good enough to play here. I'm talking about guys that are legit top four defensemen or top nine forwards that can come in and truly support the group.
What the players think to me matters a lot. And I kind of feel like if they've gone to the management to ask them to bring in players, yes, would they like Nick Paul back? Sure. It seemed like he didn't want to go and the players wanted to keep him. But I think they need to bring in more talent. Now, where we can meet here in the middle for sure is this team has not done a very good job at evaluating National Hockey League talent when they've brought them in. They have to be right.
They've listened to the coach. Like, look, I'm throwing fishing rod here and guessing. They've listened to the coach too much.
Well, that's been with Guy Boucher and DJ Smith.
It's easy to kind of figure out, right, from afar. I don't know exactly who is recommending which player, but it's easy to they've listened to the coach too much.
Yeah, I think there's...
And now he hasn't earned that right, right?
But there's something...
Coach the team.
There's something there that the GM's job is to bring in the talent, regardless necessarily of what the coach wants. And if the GM is doing that so that he's not at fault because the coach brings in people and now we can blame the coach, that is still the GM's fault as well.
You know, I don't disagree.
There's a lot of blame there to go around.
So stop listening to him when it comes to that. Like,
they need to be right.
Here's the problem. Like, I'm hearing rumors, right, out of Edmonton. Oh, like, we can give Ottawa Zach Cassian.
Yeah, I know. I read that, too. It was ridiculous.
Does Ottawa need Zach Cassian?
No.
No, not at all. But you know what? They have seen from afar a team that seems to bring in certain types of players, a team that seems to bring in players that have played for DJ before. So they're putting two and two together and hoping that Ottawa doesn't learn from their mistakes. I'm here to say right now, learn from your mistakes. Don't even think about deals like that. The last thing this team needs is another hard-to-play-against player like Zach Cassian, who's hard to play against once every 6 weeks and you're not going to reform them.
So some texts coming in here at 12-1200. I actually agree with AJ, in brackets, sort of. Asked Danny Heatley how he felt about coming off the first unit power play.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, I don't know that Danny Heatley would be my barometer as far as good team guy and everyone's here for one cause.
Fair.
Danny Heatley was not here for the team cause as much as he was here for his own cause.
To a certain extent.
He's a really good player.
To a certain extent. But you know what? As time goes by, I think Danny Heatley's case gets a lot better over time. I'll say that. I mean, I know it's a different subject altogether, but I think over time, at the time, you're looking at things maybe in a little bit of a bubble and saying, okay, Danny Heatley bad. You know, you should suck it up for the team. But again, we're talking about we're talking about the best of the best. If you're a starting quarterback somewhere and all of a sudden you're being replaced by someone that is better, doesn't mean you're going to be happy about it. You want to play. You want to be the starter. And I get that's a little bit different because, look, if you're on PP2 versus PP1, it's not like being QB1 and QB2. But the reality is no one's happy, right? Henry Burris, pretty good team guy. He was pissed when he was demoted here.
Yeah, there was competition, though.
He was pissed.
Sometimes you need a little competition.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do. And look, again, Tim Stutz is going to be an amazing player, and I don't want to start on him in particular, but the guy's 20 years old. Right?
Guy's pretty damn good on the power play.
Yeah, he is. But what if you have a couple people that are pretty good on the power play? I don't know why we're worried about the power play so much as far as like the only reason why you bring in a
talented
person.
That's a big part of what drives the players at that level. Again, it's beyond you and me and our junior B careers. Like, we're talking about superstars.
If the Sens can get better, you can't worry about hurting the Sens' feelings on the first unit. Having too many good players is a good thing.
Easier said than done.
Go, Sens, go.
Easier said than done. It's easy to do for 2 to 3 weeks in the Olympics and best on best and World Juniors. Oh, yeah, I'll play my role, that sort of thing.
Alex.
But when it comes to the day-to-day and 82 games, everyone wants theirs.
Alex doesn't agree with you. He says, bring in talent. Let's get this team going. Nick Pollard, players like it. Not moving the needle for more wins next year. We just saw that. It didn't work. So your text at 12-1200, this
you're,
branched
pay me
off.
Now or pay me later then. Fine. Do you want to eventually win a Stanley Cup, or do you just want to make the playoffs next year? You've got to have a plan, and that plan includes, in my opinion, those four forwards being your PP1 forwards. If you give me David Pastrnak, I'll listen. But for Fiala, who's not going to come here, Forsberg, DeBrincat, I don't think it's worth it. I think you're paying too much for an area that, look, they need better players up front. But Burakovsky-type players for a little bit less money on PP2 are better, in my opinion. Better fit.
I'll
stand by it.
Yeah, and I have not been shown by this management team that they can bring in that middle-class player that you're talking about for less money.
Well, that
can be the effective people to support the
group.
That's
why it's a big off-season for them. They got to figure it out.
AJ, we agree on that. Take a break. Your thoughts at 12-1200. You can weigh in. Kevin Fiala, it branched off a little bit. Kevin Fiala is now a member of the LA Kings for the 19th overall pick, and Brock Faber, who's going back to Minnesota for the Wild. And Kevin Fiala has signed a 7-year extension worth $7.9 million a year with the Kings. Back with more of The Drive on TSN 1200.
The Drive continues on TSN 1200.
Welcome back to The Drive. Lever Sage, AJ Jakubek, and Matt Conesvita. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, Matt. Who got through?
Meat of the order.
Well,
our winner today.
Wow.
That is a wow. Meat of the order. Usually texting in bad takes and took some time to take time out from that and win some tickets.
Congratulations,
how do you know
meat.
Bad takes?
I've read a lot of meat of the order's texts. I have a very good idea of why they're bad takes. But we appreciate all takes. There's a lot coming in.
I'm fired up today.
Well, it's, you know what happens?
Bet you
folks
didn't think you were getting fired
no,
up, AJ,
you know,
today.
AJ, I actually did. Because you know what happens? And I don't want to tell you that this is a pattern, but it is a pattern. On the day before, like, you're not going to be on tomorrow, and then it's a long weekend, and you're not going to be on for a while. The last, like, hour, hour and a half before you're not going to be on, feel like you got to get a lot in.
Basically, yeah, in this time slot, I will be calling the game tomorrow night with the one and only Jeff Avery.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, you won't hear me until Monday.
Right. And this is what I'm saying. It's Wednesday, and all of a sudden you're realizing I'm not going to be able to have all these hot takes like PP1 and, you know, how mad Tim Stutz is going to be if they bring in another good player. You got to get it all out before Monday. And then you're only going to be on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I don't think he's going to be mad. He's actually going to benefit from it at even strength. Just Burakovsky type money, not $8-9 million. That's all.
Have to agree with AJ, guys, writes Elias the Dairy Farmer. Guys like Nikushkin, Nick Paul is what Ottawa needs with Manson on D. They add those three players, they will make the playoffs this year.
Well, that's the thing, right? As much as, like, if you're asking me, okay, you've got a certain amount set, you can get, let's just say $6 million, right? Because I've been saying, okay, like, you could use $6 million player and a $4 million. Like, if you got three players and they're making $15 total, the first of those guys would hope be a defenseman, because I still think that's the group that, especially in the here and now, needs to look. They need somebody to play with Tim Stützle, you know, because you'd love to have the first line play together, right? Those guys are really good together, and you can move Batherson back, but it hurts the first line. Leave the first line together. Bring in someone really good to play with Stützle. It's all so easy, right? No problem at all. I get how difficult this is, but you have to go out and get that done. But at the same time, man, this blue line could use, like, if Jake Sanderson comes in and he's the real deal and you get a legitimate top four defenseman, then all of a sudden you're saying, okay, now we just got to worry about 5-6, assuming that you do re-sign Zub. And that's a big part of the discussion as well, right? But if you get Zub done, Sanderson's the real deal, and you bring somebody that is a legit top four, all of a sudden it feels like with Brännström, with Holden, with some of the young guys that they have, that this blue line is not going to be an issue anymore. Solved like that. I get that's not easy to go out and do. If it was, you'd go out and do it every offseason. Oh, let's just go out, get top four defenseman. Perfect. Snap the fingers. There he is. All right. Problem solved, right?
Well, we got him, and get Branson and Coburn and all kinds of guys that have come in the last 2 or 3 years. Except they have not worked out. But to your point, and I do agree with you, I do think the defenseman's more the priority than the forward. But
we're talking about $8 million forwards, right? That's all I'm saying. And if you're bringing in $8 million forwards, that means, okay, well, what else? And you need to replace not only Nick Paul and Joseph's going to need a new contract as well.
Okay, but you start to worry about things like that. Like Matthew Joseph's contract, prove that you're a top six forward.
Fair. I'm not saying give him a long-term deal.
First.
But he's still going to be due a pay raise.
You can't worry about stuff like that when you're...
It's part of the budget. We have no idea what the budget is.
Right.
Right? Like, we're just talking as if, oh, well, now apparently they're a cap team. Well, how do we know what they're spending? How do we know what the budget is? We have no idea. So, like, just to think you're going to go out and get $8 million players, snap of the finger, and everything's going to be solved. No, you still got a lot of problems here. Now, those problems are solvable, again, because the Ottawa Senators have what a lot of people and a lot of teams don't have, and that is a legit young core that's hard to get, and they got those guys. So the surrounding is still difficult. It takes work. It takes skill. It takes team-building ability, all that type of stuff. You want to get people that are in the right situation, not square pegs and round holes, but you have the pieces in place in terms of the young core, which that's the harder part to do, and that's what's encouraging here and why I'm excited for this offseason.
Super weird argument. Do you hate the number 8 why are two hard-to-play-against players that equal eight better than one high-level player? I don't think this roster's earned that kind of deference that you're giving them. We should add talent now.
Text well, comes in. Immediately, if two players... Okay. You're talking about two spots, so someone's making the minimum, and you've got eight. There's nine, right? You're talking about nine. So you're talking about somebody... Look, if you get Michael Bunting at the league minimum, then all of a sudden, guess what? You're going to be a lot better. Right? Like, that's, in the end...
So here's a good example.
You'd love to be able to go out and get that. And if you did that, then all of a sudden, okay, your $8 million player looks pretty damn good. I'm just saying... I think you're better off finding a couple of, like, a guy that can play in your top six, a guy that can play with Stützle in the $4 to $6 million range, and then somebody like a Nick Paul, who's a Swiss Army knife, who can do a million different things, and you know that guy would love to be here. Especially in conversation, right, with, like, this is not a pipe dream. We asked Dave Smart. They are very close. Not saying it's a given. Oh, snap the fingers, Nick Paul's here, but... Not a pipe dream that Nick Paul could re-sign with the Ottawa Senators. I want that guy here. That's all I'm saying. And I think if you get an $8 or $9 million forward, Nick Paul's not coming here. I'm just saying someone in the Burakovsky range just seems to be a better fit.
Devon Toews was traded to Colorado for 2 second rounders because he was going to arbitration the next year and getting paid. These are the players we need to get on teams at the cap, not do them favors getting rid of bad contracts.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I'm surprised they haven't been able to find one player that fits that bill that another team has to, like, and I get it. Sometimes it's just a better fit for the other team, right? But a Graves... or a Taves. I mean, Graves is a completely different player, right? Mm-hmm. But some of those types of guys that where teams have to make a decision, they have to cut bait. I'm surprised they haven't been in on more of those types of players when you've got some cash-strapped teams that need to let go a good player just to be able to fit the other good players they have in their organization. They haven't been able to make one of those deals yet in the last couple of years when I think they've been in a position to do so. Maybe this is the year they're able to get something like that done.
McCarts is in before we go with, by the way, guys, who's our goalie? McCarts, that's a whole other show, okay? We don't have time for questions like that right now.
Anyway. Well, you and I aren't on the same page on Forsberg, but I think Forsberg's a guy that can play 45, 50 games. The concern I have, who's going to play the others?
We'll take a break. Come back, 580 CFRA News Update, what you need to know. We're going to continue this discussion because the jumping off point is Kevin Fiala has been traded to the LA Kings and signed a 7-year deal worth $7.9 million per. So that's the jumping off point for it. And then AJ at 530, instead of the leftover five, we're going to have who?
Julio Caravata, color analyst, BC Lions Radio Network. He was Canadian quarterback in the 1990s for the BC Lions. And he'd be a pretty good person to ask about Nathan Rourke. What are we going to see tomorrow night?
Which means we're not going to have a leftover five, but Matt, the one story that I prepared, we have to hear before Julio comes on. Can we do that? No? Okay. Matt's like, no. Dude, come on. Matt, come on.
Hey, if we're not doing the leftover at 5:30, then we can do your story coming back.
Because AJ's gone, and I feel like he has to be here for this
story.
You
do need to hear this story.
All right. I look forward to that.
That's all coming up in the next hour of the drive on TSN 1200.